Turn in your Bibles today to the book of Job, please. Book of Job, chapter 13. Have you ever known a doctor that was worthless, that really wasn't worth his pay? It seemed like a lot of times you go to doctors and really you don't get the care you need. And sometimes doctors, to be quite honest with you, are just not as professional as what they should be, for one thing. And then sometimes it seems like they might be a little pill happy. They want to give you all kinds of medication, prescriptions, and so forth. And on and on, we could go talking about critiquing doctors. But yet at the same time, we can thank God for those physicians out there, those nurses, those medical personnel that really have it together, that really have to heart the condition of the patient. I heard of a man one time that went to a doctor, and the doctor looked at him, and the man was talking to the doctor afterwards, and the doctor looked at him and said, "Have you ever had this problem before?" And the man said, "Yes, I have." The doctor said, "Well, you have it again." So, you know, sometimes I heard also this past week that the cause of a third of the deaths in this country are due to doctors handling surgeries wrong. In other words, it relates to mistakes in surgery. One third of the death rate. Now, having said that, look at verse number 4 of chapter 13. Verse number 4. Job said, "But ye are forgers of lies. Ye are all physicians of no value." Those of Job's inner circle of so-called friends that came to him, that seemingly had the answer to his dilemma, that had all of the good advice to give him, that attempted to give him counsel and to tell him, you know, why he was going through what he was going through. Well, finally, when the dust settles, Job looks them in the eyes. He lets them know they are miserable counselors. They're in the wrong business. They're poor people to be giving words of counsel. And then he also looks them in the eyes at another time, in another event, and another account, and he says, "You're worthless physicians." Now that's Job's estimation, and that's what he said. And we're going to take those words, and hopefully today the Lord will use these words to encourage us and to help us and to remind us today of the doctor of all doctors and the physician of all physicians that you and I need to depend upon if we really want lasting health. Amen. Let's pray. Father, bless now the preaching of the Word of God today. And again, Heavenly Father, we do want to pray for the dear people in West Virginia that you'll comfort and supply what's needed and minister to the needs of those hurting people that are going through what they're going through right now. Now, Father, bless the preaching of the Word today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the Bible in the book of James talks about, have you heard of the patience? Or you've heard of the patience of Job. Job was a man of great patience. I mean, by the way, you had to have a lot of patience to go through what he went through. And then on the top of that, to have to go through the misery that was inflicted on him by his so-called friends. I mean, it was enough that Job suffered the loss of his family, with the exception, of course, of his wife, the loss of his health, the loss of his livestock, the loss of his earthly possessions. And now he's a miserable wretch. His body is racked with pain. He is broken out in sores. And on the top of that dilemma, his so-called friends come to him like they have all the answers, and they haven't helped him a wink. He's not only as miserable as he's ever been, but he's even more miserable after listening to those miserable counselors and quacks for physicians. He said, again, I go back to the text, physicians of no value, worthless doctors. I'm going to borrow that statement today, and I want to stay with that for a while today. Worthless doctors. That's what they were, worthless doctors. There's a lot that can be said here. They lacked the understanding of his illness, his friends did. They didn't know why he was suffering. They said he was suffering because of sin. They accused him of being hypocritical. And that bringing on the chastisement of God, they actually made that insinuation that Job was suffering because of sins in his own life. The psalmist one time put it like this: when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. And I tell you, my friend, that has to be our best and most significant resource all the time, is the Lord. We can't depend on people. We can't trust the counsel of human beings, but so far. We've got to learn to depend upon the Lord. When it comes to physicians or any other position in life, I still believe that God masters them all. He's the greatest. What a friend we have in Jesus. That is true, you see. That's not just a song. That's a fact. I believe that multitudes of people today are seeking rest for their souls. They're crying out today for help. People are hurting, needing help. Many are saying, what must I do to be saved? People are seeking refuge. They're seeking comfort. They're seeking joy. They're seeking security. If there's ever been a time that our country has been ever less secure than what it is now, I don't know when that would be. Our country's in a mess. I don't need to tell you that. You know that. We don't need the newspapers to tell us that either. Our country is in a mess. People need the Lord. People need God's help, God's grace, God's strength, God's encouragement, God's comfort. Everyone else are miserable comforters and are worthless doctors. But not the Lord. Not the Lord. Many people are turning to physicians of no value. People that, let's say, doctors that are guilty of malpractice. And I believe in a spiritual realm, there are many doctors out there guilty of malpractice. There are a lot of preachers, for example, that are sporting doctorate degrees that don't even qualify spiritually to be a nurse's helper, because they're not offering what is really needed. People sitting in church pews need help. We come to church with problems. People out there today in this world need spiritual guidance. We don't need someone to stand up and tell us necessarily how good we are either. We need to hear the truth. The truth is what sets free. We need to be told the truth, of course, using the eyeglasses of the Bible. People need the great physician. I think of many quack doctors out there spiritually. We can label them today. And yes, a few years ago, I think I probably preached this message here before, so here it goes again. See, I'm ahead of the game, aren't I? Nobody's able to come up to me and say, preacher, you've been on that before. Now, I'm telling you ahead of time. I'm not 100% sure it stuck the first time anyway. You realize here's what I appreciate about preaching. You can take your text anywhere you want to. You can dress it up with any kind of a title you want to. But basically, when the dust settles, it comes down to three or four critical ingredients that every sermon has to have anyway. What are they? Jesus loves me. Christ took my sin debt. I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I need the Lord. Trust Christ. Every sermon ought to be saying that. We can dress it up, title it up, do anything we want to, but it still comes down to that. So it's really not a slam against one's homiletics. After all, if you repeat sermons, because we repeat, do you realize we repeat every Sunday we preach, we repeat? People need the Lord. God's grace is sufficient. Salvation is real. Jesus, we repeat that all the time. I stand up every Sunday and preach John 3:16. It'd still be fresh because it's still the Bible. We don't necessarily need a new thing. We need to apply the old thing. You see, people today are hurting and dying because it's not the fact we need something new. But no, it's a fact we need to apply that which we've already had. There are spiritual quack doctors out there this morning. One of them we could call old Dr. Atheist. Old Dr. Atheist. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's a quack doctor if you ever have one. Dr. Atheist. Now how does he know there is no God? Has he searched the universe? Where has he been? Everywhere we look, we see the testimony that God is. A sign was once observed on the door front of a doctor's office that said, God is nowhere. A little girl had more sense than the doctor that posted that sign. The little girl said, the way it really reads is God is now here. Makes a lot of sense. If there was no God today, I ask this question, why are the atheists fighting him then? Why are they mounting an all-out campaign to try to destroy him? I mean, why would you work against someone that doesn't exist? Dr. Atheist. You see the truth of God's existence all around. You see the truth of God's existence in the petals of a flower, in the snowflake, in the spring showers, in the sprouting of a kernel of corn, in the singing of a bird, in the sweetness of honey, in the tear of a baby, in the arrival of seasons, in the warmth of the sun, in the light of the day, you see living testimony that God is. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork, the Bible says. It's evident out there. Everywhere you look, you see the testimony God is. God is all-powerful. God is creator. God is sustainer. God is upholder. God is comforter. God is friend. Oh yes, His hand is seen throughout creation. You especially see the truth of God's existence in the testimony, the transformation of sin-ruined lives, the emergence of peace and joy. When you and I can come to church on Sunday and sit together and sing together and rejoice together and have hope together, that tells us that God's alive. When someone can stand up at a church service and say, I was lost, I'm saved, I was blind, but now I see, that says that God is. When God can take a nobody, make them a somebody, and now point them in a direction that's real and satisfying and life-giving, that says that God is. I'm preaching this morning as a person that can go back to a time I met Him at Calvary. I know His grace is real. I know the blood is powerful. I know redemption is sure. I know that my Savior lives. You ask me how I know He lives. I know it because the Bible says it. But I can also say He lives. He lives within my heart. Oh, doctor. Atheist out there is a quack for sure. A quack for sure. But we that are saved today can say thanks to Calvary, I don't live here anymore. Worthless doctors. Dr. Atheist. Number two, a worthless doctor comes to mind. That's old doctrine Gnostic. Old doctrine Gnostic. He's the so-called spiritual advisor who says that no one can know anything about the future. All is uncertain. Nothing but uncertainty is out there in this world. But yet we come back to the fact when God made man, He created us as a cream of His creation. He gave us a conscience. He gave us a mind. And the question would be, why do I have a conscience? Why do I sense my sin? Why do I believe that there's a God? The agnostic comes along and would question. And would put everything under scrutiny. But you see, we understand today, and by the way, not only do the heavens declare the glory of God, but even the conscience declares the existence of God. What makes a person think and reason? What brings on insecurity? How can it be that regardless of where you go upon the face of this earth, you will find religious systems in place? You will find people with altars out there acknowledging a superior being. But we understand today that an acknowledgement of a superior being is not in order and not significant and not saving unless the acknowledgement of that superior being is acknowledgement of Jesus Christ as personal Savior. But yet at the same time, the fact that man is incurably religious argues for his existence of God. I've never in all my travels, and I've been in many places down through the years, but I have never run across an animal pound or come to a zoo or find any animals that I ever knew of, regardless of what species they happen to be. None of them have ever been religious. Have you ever had an animal that knew how to worship? Note the difference. God made man in His image. God consciousness, superior creation, with a soul, will live forever. So, my conclusion is simply this. Dr. Agnostic is a quack doctor that doesn't have the answer. Not the answer we need. I say today that a 6-year-old child with a knowledge of Christ has more real wisdom than a person who has 3 PhDs from the Ivy League schools across this land. The fear of God, by the way, is the beginning of wisdom. The quack doctors, Dr. Atheist, Dr. Agnostic. And then you have, and I would call him this morning, you have the doctor, no hell. You have the doctor, and you have them out there. They have their earned degrees. They stand in pulpits on a regular basis, and they look the congregation in the eyes, and they say to their congregations, God loves you. That's a true statement. But they don't go far enough with it. We're not saved by love, we're saved by grace. It takes more than God's love to be saved. It takes the grace of God. But you have the doctrine, so-called, that says there's no hell. This old gentleman, let's say, is dressed up in modern fashions. Many times as his collar is turned around backwards, that simply designates the direction he is going. He says, don't be fearful. God is merciful. God loves you. And so, you see, what it is, it's lullabying people to sleep even further in their sin. The truth is, there is a hell. There is misery. There is an eternity lost without God, reserved for those that reject Christ. The Bible says hell hath enlarged itself. The wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. And in hell he lifted up his eyes in torment. And then John says, I saw a great white throne. Then he goes on and mentions, those whose names not found in the book of life are cast into the lake of fire. But the old religious leader, the old doctor of no hell, he stands up and in spite of what the Bible says, he says, do the best you can. Live the way you think you should live. Keep the Ten Commandments. Be a good neighbor. Give to charity. Join a church even. Get baptized. That will be your ticket into heaven. Don't worry, anyway, there is no hell. That's what he would tell you. Sometimes we get somewhat, what's the word I want to come up with here? When we come to church like our church here, we know the service to expect. We know the gospel will be preached. And sometimes we get a little bit naive, is what I'm trying to say. We're thinking that all churches represent good. We're thinking that all churches represent truth. We're thinking that all preachers can have the respect as a spiritual man of God who's leading people correctly. That is not correct at all. Multitudes of people today are in the throes of spiritual ignorance. They're being misled, misguided by hirelings, by false prophets, by people who are not preaching the truth. They go big on heaven, but say nothing about hell. But it's deadly advice that is unscriptural, that is misleading, that's wolves in sheep's clothing, attempting to lead a flock. Be thankful today for the truth. Be thankful to be told the truth. Be thankful that sometimes even though the truth hurts, it's still the truth and merits our attention. The truth must be told. Many people that fail, if we fail to embrace the truth, we go from one state of misery to the next. We put on band-aids to a more deadly illness. It's like we're on the Titanic. The ship is going down, but all we're doing is changing chairs, switching chairs inside the Titanic while the Titanic still is going down. That's what it's like. The wicked shall be turned into hell in all nations that forget God. I tell you this morning lovingly, truthfully, with all the kindness I can muster in my soul, if you die without Jesus Christ, you'll find out a split second after you're dead there's a hell. You'll know it to be true. Your theology then will be straight. It is a shame that people have to have a trip to eternity to confirm their theology. You're better off to get it right this side of death. Doctor, no hell. Then you have the doctor we could call the doctor of false peace. This is a spiritual quack who says peace, peace, and there is no peace. This is a person that bids others to depart in peace, as James talks about in James 2:15. But yet how can you offer peace? How can you suggest peace when there is no peace that begins with a person who's speaking those words? False peace. How can you give that which you have not received yourself? It cannot be. The Bible says He is our peace. There's our answer. He is our peace who hath made both one, broken down the middle walls of partition. He is our peace. The doctor of false peace. I would say today, if you were visiting a medical center, and you, as you walk down the halls, you look up on the doors, you see the various names and discipline of the various doctors, whether it be orthopedic, whether it be cardiologist, all along we could go. Let's imagine now we're walking down the corridor of spiritual medical center. And we see those names. And then finally we walk upon, we see a door with a label, with a name. Well, there's old Dr. Goodenough. Old Dr. Goodenough. He's the person that he always propagates and preaches and tells a person to just be good enough. He's the type of a person that will use the logic and theory well. You know, like you hear all the time out there in the world. If so-and-so is going to heaven based upon how they live, then I certainly must be good enough to get there myself because my life is not even entangled up as bad as theirs. Old doctor, good enough. See, that's a false quack there, isn't it? The thought is you never did anybody any harm. You've paid your dues. But now let's bring this to reality. We're not saved and go to heaven based upon duplicating the standards of fellow human beings. We're not going to heaven because we're either better or worse than a fellow human being. The only proper standard to be gauged by is the standard of the ultimate law keeper, Jesus Christ. When we stand in His presence, we find ourselves naked and a miserable sinner. We have no ability to redeem ourselves. We're not saved based upon our goodness. We're saved based upon His grace. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. And a person is a spiritual quack who tells people, be good enough, you'll get to heaven. Even when we're saved, if any goodness comes out of our being, it's because of God's imputed righteousness that makes it happen. Not a one of us will be able to pat ourselves. You know, you hear people say sometimes, give yourself a hand. I understand that sounds good, doesn't it? Give yourself a hand. Pat yourself on the back. There used to be a time, by the way, I could say, pat yourself on the back, and I could bend back further. When we get to heaven, none of us will be patting ourselves on the back. None of us will be giving ourselves a hand. When we get to heaven, child of God, He'll get all the glory. He'll receive the applause. Using this in a proper way, if there's any backpatting, it'll be the Savior, the one that loved us and washed us from our sins by His own blood. Jesus led me all the way. That'll be our theme song. Old mister, good enough. Old doctor, do better. And then, here's a fatal doctor that'll lead to the ruination of your soul in a hurry if you listen to him. That's old doctor, time enough. Now, what could we say about him? I think of a man in the Bible that Paul the Apostle one day stood before, a Roman potentate, and he said, almost, thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Then it was also stated by someone who spoke about come a more convenient time. Well, I'm calling this today, Doctor, time enough. In other words, the logic is, let's say we do believe these truths. Let's say we have good intentions. Let's say I plan on getting saved tomorrow. Let's say I don't want to go out into eternity lost and I plan on getting it settled. But I just need time enough. That's fatal thinking. That's certainly fatal advice coming from anybody. I say that because, behold, now is accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. We don't have time to ponder these things. If you're here this morning unsaved, you had better not listen to your conscience, it might be saying, time enough, or some person saying, wait till later. I'd advise you today to get it settled today while there's opportunity, while you're still breathing, while you're still alive, while you're still thinking, while you're in a church service, while there's still conviction. Get it settled today. Doctor, time enough. And then, strange title for this next doctor, but let's call him Doctor Too Late. He can do nothing for you. Nothing for you. Imagine yourself. your body ridden with cancer that has now contaminated the tissues throughout your body. Let's imagine that cancer now has spread to your organs. And you go to this doctor, and he looks at you. He says, I'm sorry. I've done all I can do. I've done all I could do. Doctor, too late. Here's a sober thought. You think about it. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. There comes a time it's too late. I believe a person can sin away the day of grace. We can say, get away, God, get away, God. I don't need you, God. I don't want to be saved, God. And finally, as God did in the days of Noah, God will look down from heaven, and God will write Ichabod over a race, over humanity. And that's what happened during the days of Noah. You, my friend, today need to understand that Ichabod may be written over your soul if you keep sinning away and saying no to Christ and walking casually out of church services like you're accustomed to do. Time is running out. The Holy Spirit convicts. He draws. But he'll not be forced. Sometimes you can be abandoned to your own will. Romans chapter 1, given over to a reprobate mind, given over. That's a picture of culture today. That's a picture of society. That's a picture of how sins have taken some people down roads. They've been given over. Given over. God help you to not be standing at the door of the office and facing a doctor called too late. But I close this morning with a pleasant, bright hope. And that's the great physician.